You may notice we've gone lectern-less this week, so I don't really know where to put my Bible. But please do not be offended that I've put that down on the stage. I hope you're all well. My life at the moment is coronavirus, okay? Let me just share with you before I start how much I despise this virus. Not because it's killing people, obviously that is awful, but every single child manages to link coronavirus to whatever I am teaching, okay? I'm teaching glaciers at the moment, and they'll think that the coronavirus has something to do with moving ice. But as much as Dave is saying, wash your hands properly, okay? I've got a tutor group of 30, 15-year-old children, yeah? And I've done baby shark, do-do-do-do-do-do, baby shark, do-do, okay? So please wash your hands properly, okay? We get to talk about goodness, and oh, there's just such a rich presence of the Spirit here this morning. I don't know if other people are feeling it. I think there's just so many themes in what Carne's brought forward in the songs that we've chosen and the visions and the pictures that have come forward. And I feel a bit like we're stood on the edge of a cliff. Obviously, the stuff with Tots is not ideal. Harriet does a great job with that, and Dave's right, there is this threat to us, and we're sort of on the edge of this cliff where if we went too far forward, we'd fall. But yet, when you stand on the edge of the cliff and you look, you see this beautiful vista and horizon. And I think we must not lose sight of what is there as well and the potential that is there, yeah? So we're going to do some ministry at the end, if that's okay. And I'll explain what I feel we should do as we come to that. I was chatting with a friend who was telling me about a book that they were reading, and it sounds like a great book. It's set in sort of dystopian future society where men have taken precedent over women, and all of the women have a little collar on their necks. And essentially what happens is if the women speak more than 100 words a day, they receive an electric shock. Now, already I've split the congregation, which is a great start. Okay? But it got me thinking, actually, if you only had 100 words a day to say, what would we say? Probably if we've got a partner that we love, we might wake up and say, I love you. We might stop asking Alexa what the weather's going to be like today. Or if you're like me and just when you're getting ready in the day, you just like to hear random facts, might cut that out. We might use that to pray. But I want us to think, actually, are we purposeful with everything that we're doing? That 100 words can become 100% very easily. There's that comparison straight away. And actually, if we are, as we believe, these embodied harbingers of the Spirit when we've given our lives to Christ, everything that we do is for God. And are we doing that? Because I think to understand goodness and to understand what the Spirit wants us to do in worship and in glory of God, we have to understand that everything we're doing on this earth is to bring about the kingdom that God intended. And I want to go through my reasons for that today. When I think about the word goodness, immediately, I'm probably going to think about what is good for me. I think winning the lottery is good for me. Yeah? I think losing some weight would probably be good for me. Never going to happen, don't get your hopes up. I think people doing things for me is good. Does anyone spot an issue already with how humans interact with goodness? We are so self-centered when actually what goodness truly means in the Bible is dying to self, for to live in Christ is gain. I thought I'd use some goodness in advertising and Guinness used My Goodness, My Guinness quite a lot, but I thought probably can't use that one in church. But I found this one at Tropicana saying goodness on the go. And they're right, orange juice is good for you, it gives you nutrients, and it's a wonderful thing for us to drink. For us to drink. Yeah? I think about my good friend the Colonel, and I think about that finger-licking good chicken. Okay, I'm a big fan of KFC. Other chicken shops available. But actually, if I think about that finger-licking good, oh, I'm still just thinking about the self-satisfaction that comes about from that consumption. When I'm not, we are not, as Christians, that. So I thought I'd take a leaf out of Stephen Morris's book and trying to find goodness. So I did a Bible search. Good or goodness appears 19 times in NIV. It's actually quite hard to come across, so I thought I'd turn to Google first. The quality of being morally good or virtuous. A belief in the basic goodness of mankind. And again, if I was to explore that and to delve into that a bit more, when we actually engage with the words that are chosen there, again, it comes back to this self-centeredness that appears. But the word I like from there is virtuous. I like the idea of having a virtue, and if our virtue can be self-sacrificial for God, then there is something in there that is worthwhile. But I don't like morally good, because we are not morally good people as Christians. We are greater than morally good. Yeah? So I can't be content with this definition, I'm afraid. So I started digging through and reading these verses, and I sort of found, apologies that I haven't aligned this well, but I came across five different verses, and I think from each one of these we can piece together what we can define as goodness. So starting with John's third letter, he says, "Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God, and anyone who does what is evil has not seen God." Anyone who does good is from God. Let's think about God in his entity, in his nature. We started this series where we considered the role of the Trinity. And we thought about, actually, where's the Holy Spirit's place within the Trinity? See, God is the Holy Spirit. God himself, we would accept in Christianity and doctrine that he is holy good. He is perfect in and of himself. There is nothing that compromises his goodness. So therefore, I can infer from this that in our definition of goodness, we must have something to do with God in the centre of it. Because he is wholeheartedly what we are aspiring to do through the Spirit. In Hebrews it says, "He who have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the coming of the age." Now, whenever a New Testament scholar is writing and says this word, or says this phrase, "the word of God," that means Jesus. Remember the opening to the Gospel of John? "In the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was." So again, I can add a layer of meaning to my definition of goodness now, and add that it has to be something to do with what Jesus did. And I think when we build our definition as Jubilee of what goodness is, there has to be something about what the cross means and symbolises. In Ephesians it says, "For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness and truth." The fruit of the light. Now the light in New Testament scripture refers to the light in the darkness. This form of hope that there is for us to be able to access through the work of Jesus who was sent by God. So our good work that the Spirit does through us must then somehow be showing this light to those around us, which I think is so poignant, timely in the world at the moment. So I want to add that into our definition. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. God's divine nature is agape love, or agape love, this unconditionalness that the gospel is open to whoever. I loved Elizabeth coming forward and sharing that prayer earlier. Thank you. Because no matter where we come from, God will still accept us. Even the sinner on the cross next to Jesus could still have his place in heaven. But when I think of agape and I think about the nature of agape, it says to me immediately something about the heart and about how we interact with others. And I think it's impossible for us to do good work, the Spirit in us, if our heart's in the wrong place. And I'll illustrate that to you in a moment. And then the second part of 2 Peter, it says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Peter says in his understanding of how people are to live that, yes, as soon as we have faith, we are then to do goodness. We are then to do actions whereby we are sharing with people the goodness of God. So if I'm rooted in the nature of God, I have my understanding in the love of God through Jesus, and then I am tasked with sharing the love of God, showing the unconditional love of God, and doing things for God, can I then build together a definition of goodness? I would say yes. The desire, goodness is the desire to pursue godly virtues in knowing God's character and his gift of redemption so that we may participate in the divine nature, to not only be closer to God, but also help others know his good and pleasing will. See, I think as the Spirit rests in us, and as we come forward and give our lives to Christ, and the Spirit starts working through us, we're going to look a little bit different. We're going to look, and people are going to look to us and go, what is different about you? Why are you here? And it's because we have this whole different purpose behind us to what society deems as good. Are you with me on that? Yeah. When I was at university, I wrote my dissertation in whether the church is part of David Cameron's idea of the big society. It was a fascinating thesis. I'm sure you're all ready to read it. And after dressing up as a homeless person and sneaking into soup kitchens to try and the difference between societal and church things and interviewing church leaders, etc., it was so apparent to me that, yes, we are doing similar things, but the intent that we had behind it is so, so different, because we understand the kingdom that is to come. And we want people to know that. So therefore, wash your hands and know you're furthering the kingdom. Excellent, we're all still alive. Now, I think it's also important to remember where goodness starts in the Bible. Goodness started in Genesis 1. God said, let there be light, and he saw this and said it was. Then God created the skies and the sea, and he saw this and said it was. Okay, you can put the five other in there if you'd like. But actually, if you held your Bible up at this point and held just Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and part of Genesis 3, that's the part of the Bible that is fully good. After that, we fall foul of goodness. We fall short of the glory and the kingdom of God until Revelation 21 and 22. See, goodness is exactly what God wanted all of his children to live in and be a part of. But as soon as we engage with sin, and as soon as we put sin in the way of God, we cannot know his true goodness. I think about Moses, who held the staff up and split the Red Sea apart because the Ruach, that Holy Spirit, was with him in that time. And he modeled to people what God wanted to show. But yet, weeks later, struck the rock in frustration that he could not be his own master. And then the Spirit left Moses. I think about Samson, my favourite Bible character, obviously with my flowing long hair right now. You can see I identify with him. But this great man with great strength, who was able to kill the Philistines and fight against the oppression, as soon as the seductress Delilah came into his life, he said, my secret, my strength is in my hair. He forewent the Jewish laws that he was living under and had his hair cut. And what does it say? And then the Spirit left Samson. Finally, I think about David, who, as we know, was a great leader for many, many reasons. But whether it be Bathsheba or his greed or his pride, all of these times compromised the nature that he had, his heart with God. And we see this moment where David is crying out to the Lord, saying, Lord, where are you? Because our ancestors got this wrong, they could not fully understand the goodness that we now can. So I think it's evident goodness is about our hearts. I love this Disney film. Okay, if you're listening on the podcast, I've got a gif of the genie from Aladdin hugging Aladdin in the final scene. And the genie saying, you've got a good heart, boy. Because the first thing, as soon as Aladdin rubs the lamp and the genie comes out and says, you've got 3 wishes, Aladdin says, well, what would you like to have wished for you? And the genie says, I'd love to be free. See, God is not necessarily interested in what we do. He's interested in our hearts and what is happening. And actually, Aladdin was willing to die to himself to free the genie. He was willing to sacrifice this power that he had for the genie. And I think that is so evident in how we come forward to God and then also how we live in the Spirit. I think for us to truly understand the love of God, we have to appreciate that part of ourselves we cannot love. Does that make sense? That's the dying to self process, yeah? I'm very prideful as a person. It's actually why I identify with Samson a lot. My weaknesses fall there. And I had to truly understand why God loved me, I really had to understand why I was not important. That every aspect of my life that I thought was great, I had to go, actually, God, no, this is good because you were good first, yeah? Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, I think was the lyric. Yeah? So there's a whole thing of what God, or for the Spirit to work through us and give us goodness, there is a thing that God wants to work in our hearts. And it comes back to what I think Peter's getting at here, yeah? For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. I really wish it was that simple, that that's where we could just leave it. But actually, what's more exciting is what's at the end of that verse. See, to make every effort, add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, and to your knowledge self-control, and to your self-control perseverance, and to your perseverance godliness. For us to get goodness and to show that to other people, we have to get godliness first. We have to die to ourselves for his good and his glory. If we are doing things for our self-fulfillment, we are putting that barrier in the way of God's goodness. Okay. When I was at university, I went to university as sort of a recently converted Christian, and I joined this church. It was a great church. And they said, look, Simon, we do all these really, really great things. I said, Ian, which ones do the single ladies do? Oh, well, they clean the toilets and they put the chairs out and they do. Well, I'll do them. It wasn't right. My heart wasn't in the right place. Yeah? I absolutely love what I do at work. And people always ask me, Simon, do you think you'll go and work in the private industry, private education? And one of the really big things for me is... Anytime I look at a private school website, the first thing I look at is the wage. I just know my heart's not there at this time, yeah? God's given me a gift of teaching. Use it in the right place. I'm not saying don't get paid well for your job, FYI, okay? Not saying that at all. But it'd be nice if I was paid some more. But we have to reach this place of godliness. So actually, yes, as we have faith, start doing things for God and show that goodness to other people, not knocking that at all. But the next step then is knowledge. And the step from knowledge is self-control. Actually, to To get knowledge, we need to study the Bible frequently. We need to know the Word of God. We need to develop this relationship with God. Mike texted me yesterday as I was writing this, and he said, "Oh, have you read the bit in Luke where Jesus says, 'Get up and pray'?" Oh, to have knowledge of someone, I need to spend time with them. You might be enamored and in love with someone, and you sort of just want to spend every single moment with that person. It's the person you think about when you wake up. Actually, that's what, to understand goodness, what we are aiming for ourselves, self-control. To again think about this dying to self, this self-control then is for us to not allow the sinful human nature to rise, which is tricky. But get people alongside you. We talk a lot about discipleship in this church. Find someone to disciple with. I disciple with Reuben, and it is such a good practice for me that I could be honest with him in a non-judgmental way, and Reuben prays with me over things. And then once you've got self-control, go through perseverance. And I want to come back to this theme that we've got running here, which is about people going through hard times at the moment. And I want to talk about perseverance in a moment. But this wholeheartedly leads to godliness. Now, goodness is in us, in all that we do. And I found this picture where it says, a homeless man seeking human kindness. And Stephen got it on the dot last week. Part of being Christian is to do kind act. So Stephen's right. God bless you, Ronnie. Stephen's right. Do kind things. But remember now, we've got this different heart behind us with it, to do these right things. And when we think about this goodness, we're often thinking about, trying to talk about something. I think, let me phrase it like this. I think there's a difference between kind acts and acts. Kind acts with deliberate outcomes, with godly goodness intent, and I think there are acts which do need to have a godly outcome aimed for it. I'm not saying that every time you go and make a cup of tea for someone, you need to share with them the gospel. Yeah? But I do think there are times where there are actions that we do where we to be proud of what we believe and share with people what we believe. Does that make sense? And I think there's some discernment that goes down there. I was sat with a colleague the other week who was having a bit of a hard time, and she was saying to me, I'm struggling with marking, I'm struggling with planning the lesson, struggling with behaviour. And I sort of said, what can I do for you? And she said, can you just sit in the lesson with me? Just be a teaching assistant, help me just if this particular child becomes too difficult. Now, at the point, that was a kind action for me to do, but I didn't need to sit there and then preach the gospel to her. Let your action be witness. But remember that the goodness that we're aiming for, this goodness that God promised in Revelation and that we've defined, does become available, and we are part of it as the Spirit works through us. When I was studying this and thinking about what to talk about, I came across, on Dave's recommendation, Tim Keller's book, Generous Justice, which if you've not read, it's a brilliant book. And he spends a long time in Job, who, favourite fact about Job is not an Israelite. In fact, the entire book of Job isn't set in Israel at all. It's set in the land of Uz. And it seems so out of place in the chronology of the Bible. Doesn't demean its value. I just found that interesting in my study. And is this man who has lots of goodness given to him. Job has a beautiful wife, a beautiful family. He has many fields and cattle that God has blessed him with. And Satan appears in front of God and says, Job only worships you because of the goodness that you have given him. And God says, no, Job worships me because of his heart. And then they make a deal whereby Satan can tempt and test Job, but cannot take Job's life. And if you read through the 30-odd chapters of Job, then you see these really horrendous things happen to Job, where he loses his wife, loses his daughters, loses his land. People are sent to try and misguide Job. And then you get to this wonderful epilogue at the end, where Job is restored and is glorified because he has forever worshipped God, because Job's heart was in the right place. I think it's difficult going through hard times. And there are people here to support and to pray with you, but never lose sight of God, because his goodness is running after you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't turn back, for you are near. It's hard to feel God. It's why I'm loving Waymaker at the moment, the great song. Because it's so true, you are Waymaker, miracle worker. But even when I don't see it, you are working. Even when I don't feel it, you are working. And I think we don't necessarily see it at the moment in this world that God is working, but I have the faith and the confidence that he is working. Matt's posted on the Jubilee Facebook group about the doctor in Wuhan who was the first one who sort of said, I think there's a problem. Committed Christian, silenced by the government. And he wrote this most beautiful poem at the end. And I never lost faith in his heart for God. And I would argue that's a fantastic example of goodness. I want to leave you with two thoughts. This is my dog. His name's Worcester. Beautiful chocolate lab. Yeah. Stupid. Utterly stupid. Yeah, runs into a glass door. It's brilliant to watch. Yeah. You know when you have a ball, yeah, and you throw it, but you don't let go of it? Yeah. 7 times in a row I've got him with that one. Yeah. I love Worcester for any reason. And every time I come home or go visit my parents, I sort of drop my bag off and they open the door and Worcester bundles for me. Yeah. Runs at me, runs in between my legs, runs around me, wants me to love him, and he jumps up at me and we have a hug. And I wake up, or I go upstairs to the room that I sleep in, and he follows me in here and he just wants to sit with me. Late at night, if I'm awake and in the kitchen, he'll jump up out of his bed and come and walk around with me, and it's lovely. Yeah? And he's sort of like, what are you going to do next? Yeah? We went on a walk once. My parents live in the Forest of Dean, beautiful for holidays. And there's this walk that we like. There's a lovely pub at the top of a hill. Serves good food, that's why I go. And it's got this really horrible steep incline just before you get to the pub, so you're really working for those calories. And my mum and dad walk very frequently, so they bolted up that hill, no worries. They're in their 60s, me in my 20s. I'm at the back. I just think it's a good place to be, enjoying God's creation, that's what I tell them. And you know, I sort of 10 steps, take a break, 10 steps, take a break, 8 steps, take a break. And I did this walk, and I was walking up this hill, and all of a sudden I just saw Worcester sat there. My parents were quite a way off, and he was just sat there. I was like, all right, Wes. And he jumped up, and he ran at me, tongue out, slob everywhere, and bundled me back down the hill. So then we walked up it together. This is my cow. Yeah, beautiful, isn't she? Yeah, she likes to think she's beautiful, by the way. Yeah. I come home, I put my bags down. She's at the top of the stairs. You're back. Hello. You know, go into the kitchen. Does she move? Nah. I normally take some treats with me, so I get out Worcester's treat and make him give me his paw, and I give him his treats. Clear's like, not falling for that one. Yeah. Go up to my room. She doesn't come in. She doesn't say hello. Doesn't lap. Unless it's 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. or if it is 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. In those hours, incredibly affectionate. The most loving cat you'll ever find. Runs around your leg, purrs, wants you to pick her up, follows you wherever you go. And then you go, oh, go on, I'll feed you. You get the food out, she eats her food. Cheers, mate, see you later. Now, if you are a cat lover, I'm not saying cats are evil. But I am saying there's something about the heart here. Do you get what I'm getting at? You know, we have to be like dogs. We have to be so loyal to the God that was so loyal to us. No need to be loyal to us, by the way, yeah? I'm at Staines Congregational tonight preaching on the Trinity, and I love the fact that God had no need for us. He had a want for us. Yeah? And I think when we come and we think about how we want the Spirit to work in us to do good for other people, where we are sacrificial, we die to ourselves so that they can truly understand Revelation 21, and there I see the new heaven and new earth adorned as a bride for her wedding day. I think we have to be attentive to God and all that he wants to do. So if you had 100 words a day, what would you say now? We're going to, we'll be taking the bread and the wine later as a statement and a celebration of faith. And don't come to the table lightly, because it's a real declaration that we are saying, yes, we are ready to die to self. We are going to let go of what we've had. But just before we do, as Dave was talking about coronavirus, I was reminded of Daniel. Daniel's faith, where he knelt at the window every day to pray. So I'd just like it, if it was okay, that if you are able to just kneel where you are and just to pray into seeing God's goodness in our world, praying for us to have the motivation and the ability to share God's goodness, and secondly, that God's goodness can come of what we are seeing in Corona and in some of the conflicts in the world. If you're not able, please just stay seated, but join us for just sort of 2-3 minutes of silent prayer. I'd really appreciate that as we end. Most loving and gracious Father, hear our prayer. The world is hurting. And Lord, there are people that need your goodness. Father, we believe you are a healing God. That you looked at the paralyzed man and said, get up and walk. Lord, we pray your hand over the moment. Lord, heal them of this. Father, we pray that you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. God, please provide to the doctors the wisdom, the knowledge, and the energy to care, that they may not grow weary, but instead be fulfilled in your Spirit. Father, we are conspirators for good on this earth. We are your hands. We are your feet. God, if we know people in our communities that are suffering, help us do good actions for them. Father, pray we may cook those meals. Pray we may take the washing, simple things that they may not have the energy to do, but Father, pray that we can do that for them. And Lord, may your Spirit work through us. May our hearts be right with you in this. That we die to ourselves, because to live for you is gain. Help us be the church. We love you, God. So Lord, please hear our prayer. Amen.